This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله, in today's session of Quranic Pearls, we will be looking at a verse from Juz number 24. And this verse, this ayah, is from Surah Az-Zumar number 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful. So today's topic, inshallah, will be, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is telling us through his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should not despair of the mercy of Allah. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, you say, meaning, O messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell my servants, you tell my slaves. Which slaves? الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, those who have transgressed against themselves, those who have committed many sins, whose harm is only upon themselves. Give them this message that لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, that you should not despair of the mercy of Allah. Do not despair of Allah's mercy because of your sins. Yes, your sins may be many, but Allah's mercy is more. Your sins may be very serious, very great, very destructive, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is greater. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. So the person who repents from their sins, then no matter what their sins are, and no matter how many they may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Because the fact is that innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim, indeed it is He, it is Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the forgiving, who is the merciful. He is forgiving to those who seek forgiveness from Him, and He is merciful to those who have hope in Him. We learn about the background of the reason for the revelation of this ayah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that there were some mushrikeen, some pagans, who had committed murders and who had committed many murders. And, you know, they had committed zina. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever you say and whatever you invite people to is good, but we wish if you could inform us whether there is any expiation for our past sins. You see, everyone did not have a great history. We have people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who were very chaste, very noble men. But then there were also people whose past lives were filled with many crimes, many sins. So they came and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Islam is good. We love what you preach, but we want to know if there's any hope for our forgiveness. Is there any expiation, any forgiveness for our past sins? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. Which verses? Two sets of verses. The first set of verses is in Surah Al-Furqan, which are وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Meaning there are people who do not, you know, commit shirk, they do not commit murder, they do not commit zina. And then later on it is mentioned, except for those who repent. So there is an invitation to turn back to Allah. And also Ibn Abbas said that this ayah was revealed, that قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That, O my slaves who have transgressed against their souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah, because Allah forgives all sins. We learned that Shutayd ibn Shakal said that I heard Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say that the ayah in the Quran which brings the most relief, the ayah that brings the most relief, is the ayah in Surah Az-Zumar, meaning this ayah, Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Because it brings so much hope, it gives so much hope that no matter what you have done, and no matter how many crimes you have committed, and no matter how serious those offenses may be, the fact is that if you turn back to Allah sincerely, begging Him for His forgiveness, then you will find Allah forgiving and merciful. So this ayah is an invitation to all people, every single human being, those who believe and also those who do not believe. This ayah is an invitation to all of us that we should all turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this ayah promises that no matter how great and no matter how many one's sins may be, even if they may be more, greater than the foam of the sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. But the condition is tawbah. The condition is repentance. So this ayah invites people who are committing even the greatest sin, which is the sin of shirk, that repent from your shirk, repent from, leave associating partners with Allah, repent from that, and Allah will forgive you. And this ayah is an invitation to every sinner. This ayah is an invitation to every single one of us, because the fact is that we all commit sin. So we should all turn back to Allah, and we should all make tawbah to Allah. Here in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing His servants. Look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing His people with so much dignity. That قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. When we find out that someone has committed a sin, instantly we belittle them. Instantly we look down at them. Instantly we want to humiliate them. We use words, we use, insults in order to further humiliate them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not humiliate His slaves over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His slaves with so much dignity, because the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for His slaves. Allah wants good for His people. Imam al-Shawkani says that you should know that this verse of the Quran is the verse that gives the most hope. Yani it's the ayah that gives the most hope to people, and it contains a very great good news, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring His slaves over here, and He is giving them hope over here. And then look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first addresses His people, that Ya ibadi, O my slaves, Allah is calling us, Allah is inviting us. And He does not say, O you sinners, O you bad people, O you disobedient folks, O you ungrateful people, O you people who have no goodness in you, O you people who are so weak you keep falling into sin. No, there is no humiliation over here. There is only uplifting over here. Allah uplifts His slaves. Ya ibadi. O my slaves, and yes, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Yes, you may be those who have transgressed against themselves, because it is important to acknowledge our mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us in such a beautiful way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope that لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. And then look at His promise. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. So there is hope and there is forgiveness. There is promise of forgiveness over here. And we should also learn from this, that when we talk to people and when we remind them to turn back to Allah, we should not humiliate them. We should not look down at them. We should not look at them, you know, with eyes of contempt, as if to make them feel that they are nothing, that they have no worth whatsoever. Look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing His servants over here, that you are worthy of Allah's forgiveness. You are worthy of respect. You are worthy of honor. So turn back to Allah and reclaim that honor and that dignity. Turn back to Allah. So, and then look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that قُلْ, you say, you deliver this message. And it's very important that we hear such messages from one another. Because yes, we read ayat like this in the Quran, but it's important that as people also, when we talk to each other, we give hope to one another, that we do not put people in despair. Rather, we uplift them. We give them hope. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, يعني, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, this is something that not only humbles us, it also uplifts us. How does it humble us? First of all, it removes any arrogance from our hearts. Because, you know, when we hear, يَا عِبَادِي, O my slaves, we feel good. That yes, we are slaves of Allah. Yes, we worship Allah. Yes, we believe in Allah. But then when we read الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, those who have transgressed against themselves, we realize, yes, the fact is that I have committed many transgressions against myself. I have committed many sins. So if we were feeling very proud about ourselves, this ayah humbles us. It makes us recognize and acknowledge our mistakes. And secondly, if we're feeling really bad about ourselves, because sometimes this happens that shaitan puts such thoughts in our heads that, you know, we have very low self-esteem, very low self-respect, and we feel very, you know, unworthy of any goodness. So when it is said, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, this ayah uplifts us. So no matter what state we are in, if we are feeling really good about ourselves, very arrogant, right? Or we are feeling really low, this ayah brings us hope. It uplifts us, it humbles us, and it grounds us in a really good way. Now the question is, what does it mean by الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ? How do people commit excess against themselves? How do we commit transgression against ourselves? You see this word, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا, إِسْرَاف. Israf is to commit excess, to go beyond the proper measure or the proper limit of something. And it is also to act extravagantly. So for example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, that eat and drink and do not be excessive. What does that mean? That do not eat so much that then you have no strength left in yourself to stand and pray. Do not drink so much that again, you harm yourself. No, eat and drink, but do not be excessive. Likewise, when you spend on food, when you spend on, you know, you spend your money on buying food, then again, be moderate. Do not be excessive, because إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. So much of your time and your energy and your resources should not be going into just eating and drinking. And this is something that we should think about, that in the month of Ramadan, this month is supposed to be a time when we avoid eating and drinking, where we limit that. But subhanAllah, so much of our time goes into either buying food or buying the ingredients and then preparing them and then eating them and then wrapping up the kitchen and cleaning up everything. So we should really think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. So israf is to go beyond proper limits, to go beyond appropriate measure. And then israf is also to commit sin. But not just commit, you know, a sin here or there. It is to commit many sins, to commit a lot of sins, great sins. And notice what is said over here. الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have committed transgression against themselves. Because the fact is that when we do wrong, we actually harm ourselves before we harm anyone else. And even if our sins are such that they don't impact the people around us, definitely they harm us. Our sins do not cause any harm to Allah. Our sins do not cause any harm, you know, more harm to others than they cause harm to ourselves. So we are the first victims of our crimes, our offenses. And this is something that we need to remember. So it is said, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And you know, sometimes there are sins that we have committed, mistakes that we have committed, because of which we see that we are suffering. Our own bad akhlaq sometimes causes us to suffer because we damage our relationships. And we, you know, we burn bridges and we, hurt other people. And that is something that, you know, eventually harms us because we create our own reality, right? Our actions impact us. So, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have committed transgression against themselves. And then the thing is that even if there's no tangible consequences of our sins, the fact is that sins definitely impact the state of our well-being. They affect our mood. They affect our, you know, our feelings, our emotions, the way that we think about ourselves and the way that we think about the world. They affect our inner state. And you will notice that if you're not happy on the inside, then no matter what you have around you, the guilt on the inside will eat you up. You know, if you've had an argument with someone, and yes, you may have won that argument, and now you are enjoying your great dessert, your delicious dessert, you're not actually enjoying it because in your heart, you know, you are condemning yourself. Why did you have to talk like that? Why did you have to say this or that? You know, this is not appropriate. So the fact is that the nafs is lawama. Right? That your nafs condemns you when you do something wrong. There's that inner mechanism that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, has put inside of us, that we're not happy when we do something wrong. So sometimes the state of, you know, discontent, unhappiness is very strong, very powerful, that it eats us up from inside. And we tend to fall into depression and into sadness. And this is something that is very unhealthy also, that a person feels incredibly guilty, that a person feels incredibly low on the inside. So, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that yes, you have no one else to blame except yourself. Yes, you have done something wrong, and now you are suffering the consequences of that. But still, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. You see, sometimes other people forgive us, but we don't forgive ourselves. We keep condemning ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over here, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. You see, sometimes we realize how we were so foolish and, you know, because of our mistakes or our laziness, our bad habits, we caused so much hurt to our parents. We caused so much hurt to our siblings, our grandparents. And sometimes we get the opportunity to make amends and to seek forgiveness. And other times we don't get that opportunity. We don't get to meet those people anymore so that we can seek forgiveness from them. We cannot go back in time and make amends. And it's very difficult to live like this. It's very difficult to live with guilt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us so much hope over here that لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't eat yourself up from the inside. Don't destroy yourself on the inside. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Rather, recognize the great names and the beautiful attributes of your Lord, that He forgives, He is forbearing, that He is loving, that He is merciful, and have hope in His mercy. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. You see, قنوط, قنوط is to give up hope of any goodness, to despair of mercy, or to believe that I am unworthy, to believe that I am never going to be forgiven, to believe that I can never be fixed, to believe that there's no hope for me. These are all forms of despair. These are all different versions of qanut. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Yes, you may have a terrible history. You may have very bad habits. But have hope in Allah's forgiveness, in Allah's mercy. You can improve. You can become a better person. You can become way better than before with the mercy of Allah, with the help of Allah. Give yourself a chance. Turn back to Allah. Seek His help. Have hope in Him. And you'll be amazed that how, with Allah's mercy, you can become so much better than before. So, qanut is that a person despairs and a person has no more hope. And that a person is convinced that there's no hope for them, there's no room for improvement. So this is in a way a belief. Qanut, despair, is a kind of a belief. It's a way of thinking. It's a cognitive error which needs to be fixed. It needs to be corrected. And sometimes we think like this because of how other people treat us, because of the messages that they give us. And sometimes parents make this mistake where they keep telling their children that you're horrible, you're never going to be fixed, you are a terrible person, or there's no way that you can fix your mistake. You know, when children make a mistake, there's two attitudes that we can have. One attitude is that we help them recognize their mistake and we help them fix it. We teach them, we give them the tools to be able to fix their mistakes. And the other attitude is that we just get angry at them and we punish them and we belittle them and we humiliate them. And what is that teaching them? That is teaching them that, you know what, no matter what you do, you can never fix this mistake. Now this mistake defines you. You are a bad, terrible person and there is no hope for you. So we have to be very careful about how we deal with our children when they make mistakes. Do we give them hope or do we put them in despair? And this is not necessarily by the words that we use, but by the way that we respond to them. So sometimes people develop this cognitive error, you know, this mistake, this false belief that, you know, there is no hope for them because of the way that people treat them. Because of the way that their family treats them. This is how they grow then. This is the mindset that they develop. And sometimes these thoughts or these beliefs, these false beliefs develop as a result of shaitan's waswasa, right? The whispers of shaitan. The fact is that every single one of us, you know, we make mistakes, right? We make mistakes, we commit sin, we do wrong. Adam alayhi salam, our father made a mistake. So if he made a mistake, then of course we will also make mistakes. But the thing is that when we are, you know, when we're seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes shaitan puts us in despair. And shaitan says that, you know what? You will never be forgiven. Your dua will never be accepted. And this is so amazing. Shaitan, Iblis, he called upon Allah, right? And he said that, oh my Lord, give me respite until the day that people will be resurrected. Meaning, allow me to live and grant me freedom to do whatever I want until the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that respite and that freedom. But shaitan Look at the thoughts that he puts in our heart, that you know what? Your dua will never be accepted. There is no hope for you because you have done this and you have done that and you have done this and you are such a bad person because of this and that reason. So shaitan puts us in despair. So it is very important that we remove this false belief from our hearts, that there's no hope for me, that there's no good in me, or that Allah will never forgive me. This is a false belief, and it is a very destructive belief. Qanut is a very destructive belief, which we need to get rid of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us over here that لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. And you see, different people despair in different ways. Some people think that, you know, no matter what they do, they will never be forgiven. So what's the point? You know, just carry on as you are. And other people think that, because of who I am, because of what I've done, and because of the things that I'm doing right now, and because I have a tendency to keep falling into sins, right? I'm not that strong, or that, you know, I will again fall into sin. This is why there's no hope for me. So some people despair because of their past, and other people despair because of their assumption of the future, right? That I will again fall into sin. The fact is that you were never meant to be perfect. You were, you as a human being, you were never meant to be perfect. So yes, you have many mistakes in your past. And just because you make tawbah, it doesn't mean that now you will never commit sin again. You will still commit sin because you're human. You will still slip because you are meant to forget. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and merciful. So have hope. Have hope that your past sins will be forgiven. And have hope that Allah will give you strength in the future and will prevent you, will give you the ability to stay away from sin. And if you do fall into sin, then turn back again. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah, do not despair of the mercy of Allah, this shows us that despair is something that is that we are being prohibited from. When it is said, La taqnatu, do not despair, this is a prohibition. And despair is something that, you know, we have been strongly advised against. It's something that has been condemned very clearly in the Quran and Sunnah. In Surah Yusuf, ayah 87, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that innahu la yay'asu min rawhillahi illa al-qawmul kafirun, that indeed none despairs of relief from Allah, of the mercy of Allah, except the people who are disbelievers. Meaning people who do not believe in Allah are people who despair of the mercy of Allah. So faith, iman in Allah, and despair cannot go hand in hand. They're completely opposite. Why? Because when you believe in Allah, you believe that Allah is your creator, is your Rabb, is attributed with the most perfect attributes, is forgiving, is ghafoor, is rahim. When you believe in Allah, you believe in the names, in the perfect names and attributes of Allah. You believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is great. So despair is something that is completely contrary to faith. It's the opposite of faith. And this is why we learn that despair is actually a major sin. It is a major sin. In a hadith, we learn that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked that mal kaba'ir, what are the major sins? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that they are ashirku billah, associating partners with Allah, wal iyasu min rawhillah, and despairing of relief from Allah, wal qanutu min rahmatillah, and giving up hope of the mercy of Allah. These are all major sins. Because if you think about it, despair is something that, you know, it's not just a belief in the heart. It's not just a thought. It is something that actively impacts our actions, our attitudes, our choices, our relationship with Allah. So if a person has despaired of Allah's mercy, would they pray? No. Would they seek forgiveness? No. There will come a point when they will think, there's no point in doing any good. Why should I even bother fasting? Why should I bother praying? And so despair is something that is destructive. It is something that leads a person astray. It takes a person away from the straight path. This is what despair does. It doesn't remain stagnant. It affects our behavior. It affects our actions. And despair is, in a way, it is a form of denying Allah and His Messenger. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to not despair of the mercy of Allah, and we despair anyway, we are denying Allah. We are rejecting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he informed us that despair is a major sin, then again, this is a problem. If a person falls in despair, they are, in a way, opposing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, this is something that makes a person oppose the Quran as well. And it is, a form of great disrespect. Can you think about it? How can we, first of all, oppose Allah in what Allah is saying? When Allah is telling us, do not despair of the mercy of Allah, and we give up hope anyway, this is like saying, you are wrong. Astaghfirullah. This is like saying, Ya Allah, you are wrong. How dare we think like this? So it's a form of great disrespect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to fall into despair. In a hadith, we learned that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came upon a group of companions who were, talking amongst themselves. And they were also, laughing, just a casual gathering. They were talking, they were laughing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that by the one in whose hand is my soul, if you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and you would cry more. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left. And when he left, the companions, they began to cry. They felt so sad, they began to cry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Muhammad, lima tuqannit ibadi, that why did you put my slaves into despair? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to those companions and he said, Abshiru, receive good news from your Lord. Wasaddidu waqaribu, and correct yourselves and draw near to goodness as much as possible. So when people fell in despair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them out of despair. We learn in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ وَهُوَ الْوَلِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ, that it is He, Allah is the one who sends down rain after people have fallen into despair. And He is the one who spreads His mercy. Meaning, people have fallen into despair. They think that, now there's going to be a period of drought. They're kind of giving up hope of the weather changing, of rain falling. And what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them out of despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to be in despair, because despair is something that takes you into a very negative spiral. It, like I mentioned earlier, it affects our behavior, but it also makes us more negative in our thinking. One negative thought leads to another negative thought, which leads to another negative thought, until a person has very low self-esteem, very low self-respect, and then they begin to think that they're not worthy. So it is important that we stop ourselves right there. And anytime we have a negative thought of this nature, we remind ourselves, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Now, the thing is that despair is something that is destructive, like I mentioned earlier. It is something that leads us astray. And it is also that something that makes us lazy. It makes us lazy in doing good things. It makes us very weak in our actions. Because you see, the opposite of despair is hope. All right? What is hope? when you have hope that, you know, that Allah will forgive you, Allah will improve your condition, Allah will strengthen you, Allah will enable you to become a better person, then hope, you know, it gives you the courage to try. Hope gives you the courage to take that next step, even if that next step may be very small. But when you believe that, you know, you cannot do good, that there's no good in you, that you are a failure, then this assumption inhibits you. It prevents you from taking the next step. You know, for example, if you enter the kitchen with the assumption that you'll never be able to cook anything, then what's going to happen? Actually, you will not be able to cook anything. Why? Because with every step, you will doubt yourself, right? Everything that you're doing, you're going to doubt yourself. And you're constantly condemning yourself. But when you have hope that, you know what, I'm going to learn. Yes, I don't know. I don't know how to cook anything at all. But you know what? I'm going to learn. I'm going to check what the steps are. I'm going to follow each step. I'm going to ask for help when I don't understand something, right? Then what's going to happen? When you have hope, then you learn. You keep moving forward. So despair is something that causes us to fall behind. It stunts our growth. And hope is something that propels us forward. Even if our growth may be very slow, if our progress may be very slow, it doesn't matter. Because slow and steady wins the race, right? You eventually get somewhere. So this is why any time that we have any form of despair, we need to counter that with thoughts of, you know, positivity and, you know, of hopefulness. And despair is something that also puts us in greater worry, and it also, causes us to be deprived of goodness because we are holding ourselves back. And despair is something that also corrupts the heart, right? Because when you have, you know, such low self-respect, such low self-esteem, then again, it's not just going to impact one aspect of your thinking. This cognitive error is going to impact, you know, other aspects of your thinking as well. It's going to impact not just the way that you think about yourself, but also the way that you think about other people. You know, for example, when you think that I am unworthy, then even when people are trying to be nice to you, you will think that, you know what, they don't really understand who I am. They don't really know me. You are not, giving people the credit of being reasonable people, right? Of people of intelligence, people of good sense, because you are assuming bad about people as well. So it is something that corrupts the heart. And it is something that eventually does deprive a person of Allah's mercy and forgiveness. And this is something so dangerous. You see, the way that we think about others has an impact on our behavior, which has an impact on how people then think about us and then how they deal with us, right? This is why there is this concept of, you know, you create your own reality. So for example, if you're really moody, right, you're really upset, And you think that someone is upset with you. The moment they walk in, you are snappy, right? You yell at them or you ignore them. And what's going to happen? Even if they were not upset with you, they're going to become upset with you. So, you know, in hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks I am. So when we keep telling ourselves that I am not worthy of Allah's forgiveness, I will never be forgiven, I will never, you know, become a better person, then you inhibit yourself and you eventually deprive yourself of Allah's mercy and forgiveness. And we learn that for such despair is also great punishment. In a hadith, we learn that three types of people don't even ask what great punishment they will be given. Any the nature of the punishment they will be given is so serious that it's indescribable. And what is and who are these three people? One of them is a person who fights with Allah over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rida, meaning Allah's upper garment, which is his kibriya, which is Allah's greatness. meaning a person who contends with Allah over Allah's greatness, a person who's trying to exalt himself above Allah, who tries to show to people that I am greater than Allah, I am better than Allah, astaghfirullah. Like Fir'aun when he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Secondly, is the person who has doubt about Allah's actions. What does that mean? This means that that a person is doubtful about the decrees of Allah. Why did Allah do this? Perhaps there's a mistake in this. Astaghfirullah. Thinking that Allah made a mistake, this is very serious. And then thirdly, is the person who has despaired of the mercy of Allah. The person who has despaired of the mercy of Allah will be punished. May Allah forgive us. So instead of despair, we should all think good about Allah. Because our iman, our belief in the oneness of Allah demands that from us. And it is from hypocrisy that a person thinks bad about Allah. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 154, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the hypocrites that يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They think about Allah what is not right, what is not true, what is not befitting. And these thoughts are the thoughts of ignorance. And remember that Allah is with the slave as the slave thinks of Allah. In a hadith, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي فَلْيَظُنَّ بِي مَا شَاءَ. That I am as my servant thinks I am, so let him think about me whatever he wants. And it's completely up to you. If you want to think good about Allah, you want to be hopeful that Allah will forgive you, Allah will help you, Allah will answer your prayers, then you will find Allah to be like that. And if you want to think negatively, that Allah will never listen to me, Allah will never accept my dua, Allah will never forgive me, then that is what you will find. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It is important that we think good about Allah for all our lives, until the very end of our lives. You see, when things are good, when we are in ease, it's easy to think good about Allah. We are happy, things are working out, we are more hopeful. But then when, over time, when things get harder, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in a test, then what happens? Then how do we think about Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that let none of you die unless he has good expectations from Allah. Meaning death should only come to you while you think good about Allah. When is our death coming? We don't know. So what is this teaching us? This is teaching us that every moment of our lives, we should be thinking good about Allah. Anytime there is a negative thought, counter that with a positive thought. We learned that on the Day of Judgment, a person will be brought out of hell. Okay? A person will be brought out of hell. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, take these people back into hell. So that person will say, meaning the person who is being returned into hellfire, he will say that, oh Lord, I was hoping that when you brought me out of hell, I was hoping that you will not return me to hell. I was hoping that you will not send me back into Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, فَلَا نُعِيدُكَ فِيهَا. So we will not send you back into it. Why? Because of this person's good thought about Allah, right? He expected good from Allah. So imagine, he will not be returned to hell because he entertained a positive thought about Allah. When we look at the lives of the prophets, alayhimus salam, we see that every single prophet, every single prophet had his own trials, own difficulties, but none of them despaired of the mercy of Allah. Yaqub alayhi salam, imagine, his sons, 10 of his sons, they lied to him. They cheated him, right? And they did something with Yusuf alayhi salam, which Yaqub alayhi salam did not know about. But what was his response? He said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So beautiful patience is what I will observe. How can you observe beautiful patience when you have hope? When you have hope in Allah. And later on, he said to his sons, that, oh my sons, go and find Yusuf and his brother, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ, and do not despair of the mercy of Allah. You see, when people have wronged us, when people have mistreated us, when they have done something wrong against us, right? If anything, we want that they should not have it, have any hope. And look at Yaqub alayhi salam, how he is giving hope to his sons who had committed such great offenses. And perhaps it was because he gave them hope over here that later on they realized and they asked for forgiveness. We learn about Yunus alayhi salam, how he made a huge mistake, right? And then he was trapped in the fish and he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Oh Allah, there is no God except you. You are perfect. Indeed, I am of the wrongdoers. And he did not fall into despair. He could have said at that time, okay, I'm doomed now. This is all over. I'm a failure. I'm done with. No, he did not despair. And this is so important that when we find ourselves suffering the consequences of our own mistakes, even then we should not despair of the mercy of Allah. Even then we should call upon Allah and we should seek forgiveness from Allah and we should have hope in Allah. Ayyub alayhi salam, his illness was so long. It went on for so many, many, many years. And he wasn't just physically unwell. He also suffered in his circumstances. His children died. You know, his wealth also suffered a great deal. And look at what he said. Anni masani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. That, oh my Lord, hardship has struck me. Hardship has touched me. And you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Look at the hope that he had. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all difficulty from him. And just like that, if we have made mistakes, we have committed sins, we have looked at things that are inappropriate, we have said things which are inappropriate. Because you know, there are certain things in our culture which are considered acceptable, but they're actually very wrong. Like for example, for many men, in many Muslim cultures, it's considered okay that they should say derogatory things to women. And they should speak to them in a condescending way. And they should speak to them, you know, in a way that is very inappropriate, in a way that is not respectful at all. And you see this especially in comments online, right? Where people think that they can address a woman in any way. They can say anything that they want. They can, you know, say curse words, and they can say harsh words, and they can say, you know, words of really bad judgment and things like that. Sometimes we have made mistakes of looking at things which are inappropriate, thinking things which are inappropriate. You know, we have disrespected our parents. We have cut ties with our family. We have consumed, you know, what is haram, you know, unlawful wealth. Maybe when we were little, when we were younger, we committed theft. We spoke lies. Whatever our mistakes are, it's important that we recognize them. That's the first step. We recognize them and we turn back to Allah. Because Allah tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. And look at the word that is mentioned here, الذنوب. الذنوب doesn't just mean sins. It means all sins. The al over here is specifying all sins. Allah forgives all sins. And then it's further emphasized with the word جَمِيعًا. Meaning all of them without exception. Any, no matter how great, no matter how serious, no matter how dirty, no matter how corrupt, no matter how vile a sin may be, you turn back to Allah and Allah will forgive you. Because innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Indeed, he is ever forgiving, ever merciful. You see, two names of Allah are mentioned over here. Al-Ghafoor is the one who forgives a lot, the one who forgives a great deal. There is mubalagha over here, hyperbole over here. Ghafoor is not just ghafir, meaning one who forgives. Ghafoor is the one who forgives again and again and again, repeatedly, continuously. And remember that ghafara literally means to cover and to conceal. And this is the essence of forgiveness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers our sins. He does not expose them, because if they were exposed, we would be completely humiliated. We would be embarrassed. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expose them, what would that mean? That would mean that we would continue to suffer the consequences of our sins in this life. So Allah is Al-Ghafoor, the one who covers all sins, the one who forgives sins over and over again. We learn that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will bring a believer near him and Allah will shelter him. Allah will cover that person with his screen, meaning in such a way that no other person will be able to see how that believer is being dealt with, what's happening. This conversation will happen in complete privacy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, did you commit such and such sins? And that believer will say, yes, my Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep on asking him, did you commit this sin? Did you commit that sin? And that person will keep on confessing all of his sins. And he will think, I am ruined. Yani, all my sins have been exposed over here before Allah. I don't have any excuse. So Allah will say, I screened your sins in the world, and today I will forgive them for you. Allahu Akbar. In the world, I screened your sins. I did not let people find out about your sins. And today I will completely forgive them. I will completely, remove them. So Allah is Al-Ghafoor and Allah is Ar-Rahim, the one who is especially, the one who is ever, the one who is continuously merciful toward the believers. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is to the believers ever merciful. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overpowers his anger. And we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided his mercy into 100 parts, and 99 parts of his mercy are reserved for the Day of Judgment. So Allah is forgiving. He is merciful. His forgiveness removes our sins, and his mercy helps rebuild us. His mercy helps us become better. It helps us improve, because our sins, they break us. They harm us. They damage us. So because of the mercy of Allah, we are healed. We are able to improve. We are able to become better than before. So always believe in Allah's great mercy. Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness. He is ghafir al-dhanbi. He is the forgiver of sins. And he is waya'fu 'an as-sayyi'at. He pardons sins. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfira. Allah promises you forgiveness. وَسَّارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Rush to forgiveness of your Lord. In hadith we learn that Allah the Exalted stretches out his hand during the night so that people may repent for the sins that they committed in the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out his hand during the day so that people may repent from the sins that they committed in the night. Meaning every day, every night, Allah invites us that we should seek forgiveness from him. And in a hadith, we learn that if you were not to commit sins, Allah would have removed you. Allah would have swept you out of existence and would have replaced you by another people who committed sins and then asked forgiveness from Allah, and Allah would forgive them. The fact is that Allah loves to forgive. Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabin, and he loves the people who repent to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has... He invites us to seek forgiveness from him every night. We learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven every night. And he asks, is there anyone to invoke me so that I may respond? Is there anyone to ask me so that I give him his request? Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness so that I forgive him? Allahu Akbar. In a hadith, we learn that once a man was going somewhere and he found a skull. Right, a hollow skull. And when he saw that, he had some thoughts in his heart and he fell into sajda and he said, Ya Rabbi anta anta wa ana ana. He said, Ya Rab, you are you and I am I. You are al-awadu bil-maghfira. You keep forgiving wa ana al-awadu bil-dhunub, and I keep sinning. You keep forgiving and I keep sinning. And he fell down into sajda. And this person was told that, yes, I am, I do keep forgiving and you keep sinning, but you are forgiven because of your seeking forgiveness, right? So the fact is that Allah keeps forgiving. And yes, we keep sinning, but Allah loves to forgive. In another hadith, we learned that if you were to commit sin until your sins reach the sky, so many sins that they reach up to the sky, and then you were to repent, your repentance would be accepted. Allah would forgive you. In a hadith, we learned that Allah says, O son of Adam, as long as you invoke me and ask of me, I shall forgive you for what you have done, and I shall not mind. Allah does not mind. You see, the reason why we feel embarrassed to seek forgiveness is that people mind. When we say sorry, they get offended. That how dare you? That first you wrong me, and now you come apologizing that I should also forgive you? Like, really? That we should be equal now? People don't like to forgive. Allah Azza wa Jal loves to forgive. He does not mind. He says, O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and then you asked forgiveness from me, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as it too. So yes, our sins may be many, but remember, Allah's forgiveness is greater. Our sins are quantifiable. They can be counted. Allah's forgiveness cannot be measured because He is Al-Ghafoor. He is Al-Ghaffar. We also learn that a man committed a sin and he said, Oh my Lord, forgive me. And again, he committed a sin and he said, Rabbi ghfirli dhanbi, Oh my Lord, forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant knows that he has a Lord who forgives, so I have forgiven him. And the hadith mentions about how continuously the person keeps falling into sin, and every time he falls into sin, he says, My Lord, forgive me. My Lord, forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my slave, do what you like. I have granted you forgiveness. What does this mean? This means that as long as you keep seeking forgiveness, I will forgive you. So yes, we are not perfect. We will keep falling into sin. But as we learn in a hadith, that when a servant confesses his sin before his Lord and repents, then Allah accepts his repentance. In fact, repentance is accepted as long as the soul does not reach the throat, meaning until your last breath, until you leave this world. And remember, the biggest of sins also, even if they were like the size of a mountain, Allah can forgive them. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learn that there will come people amongst the Muslims on the Day of Judgment with sins as heavy as a mountain. Can you imagine? Sins as heavy as a mountain, and Allah will forgive them. Allah will forgive them because Allah's forgiveness is greater. He is Al-Ghafoor. And we learn in hadith about how, you know, the man who committed so many murders, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, right? Musa alayhi salam made a mistake. He accidentally killed someone and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, right? We learn in Surah Al-Buruj about the people who persecute the believers, who torture the believers, right? And still they are invited to make tawbah to Allah. Hasan al-Basri said, look at Allah's generosity and kindness. These people killed Allah's close friends, but still Allah calls them to repentance and forgiveness. That turn back to Allah, seek His forgiveness, and Allah will forgive you. We learn about people who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after having committed zina, right? And they asked for the legal punishment to be carried out, and it was carried out. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Ma'iz that he has repented with such a great repentance that if it were divided among the people, it would be enough for all of them. Allahu Akbar. We learn in the Quran that innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at, that indeed good deeds erase bad deeds. This is so beautiful. Good deeds erase bad deeds. We learn about how people who accuse others unjustly, right? In Surah An-Nur, we learn about this. And then their punishment is mentioned. And then right after that, it is said, except for those who repent. We learn about theft, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَ, right? And then their punishment is mentioned. And then it is said, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ, then whoever repents after his injustice. So no matter what sin it is, even if it's a major sin, the thing is that the option of tawbah is there. The option of repentance is there. We learn the Prophet ﷺ said, if anyone says, أستغفرالله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه, that I seek forgiveness from Allah, the one who, besides whom there is no God worthy of worship, and He is Al-Hayy, He is ever-living, He is Al-Qayyum, He is the Eternal, and I repent to Him. If a person says this, he will be forgiven, even if he has fled in the time of battle. And remember, fleeing from the time of battle is one of the major sins. So saying this is a means of forgiveness. We also learn about how if a person does something even small that is good, meaning it appears to be very little, like that prostitute who fed a thirsty dog, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her because of her good deed. So do not put a cap, a limit on Allah's forgiveness and His mercy. Do not try to limit His mercy. His mercy is limitless. His forgiveness is limitless. Yes, He has given us the conditions. And those conditions are that we repent to Him with sincerity, which means four things. The first thing is that on the tongue, we seek forgiveness. That we can feel guilty in our hearts, we can feel bad in our hearts, but that feeling ain't gonna do any good unless and until we actually seek forgiveness from Allah. So the first thing is that we say, Astaghfirullah. We say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Right? The second thing is, part of tawbah is, that we actually desist from the sin. That our body, our limbs, should no longer be engaged in that sin. We should actually leave it. We should stop it. And the third thing in tawbah is that in our heart, we have the intention to not return to the sin. We have the intention to change. We have the intention to become better. And the fourth thing in tawbah is that we also have to move away from places and from people that invite us to sin. So for example, if you feel that whenever you go on social media, you keep falling into sin, you need to unfollow certain accounts. You need to unfriend certain people. You need to, clean up your feed, right? Because if you feel that these are things that are leading you to sin, then you have to actively do something to put a barrier between yourself and the sin. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. You see, we are being invited to repent to Allah. And when we repent, it may seem like, we're losing out. But the fact is that when a person repents, there are so many benefits. We learn, لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Why do you not seek forgiveness from Allah? So that you are shown mercy, right? When we seek forgiveness from Allah, we enjoy good things in this life also. We learn in Surah Hud about how repent to Allah and Allah will send rain on you. Allah will add strength to your strength. So tawbah is something, istighfar is something that benefits us in this life as well. Now, of course, when it comes to seeking forgiveness from Allah, we can seek forgiveness, just with our words, right? But also there are certain actions about which we have been taught. We learn that if anyone performs wudu, like the way that the Prophet ﷺ performed wudu, and then he offers 2 rak'ah prayer in which he does not think of anything else, meaning a person does not think about other things, he's just focused on salah, then all of his past sins will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Also, we learn that when the Imam says Ameen, right, in Suratul Fatiha, at the end of Suratul Fatiha, we should also say Ameen at the same time. because the angels say Ameen at that time. And if our Ameen synchronizes with that of the angels, then our past sins will be forgiven. After Salah, we should say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times each, and La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir once. In hadith, we learn that a person who says this, then all of their past sins will be forgiven, even if they're like the foam of the sea. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. If we say that 100 times, then again, this is a means of forgiveness. Saying La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are words of dhikr, and these are words that also bring us forgiveness, as we learn in hadith. We also learn that, when we go to sleep, at that time also, saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. These are also words that bring us forgiveness. When we wear clothes, and at that time we make dua that Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani hadha thawba wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said all his past sins will be forgiven. When we eat and we say Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said all his past sins will be forgiven. We learn about in hadith about a man who was walking and he found a thorny branch, and he removed that, right, from the pathway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his sins. So you don't know which good deed will be a means of forgiveness for you. So be eager to increase in good deeds and actively seek forgiveness from Allah, and avoid those things which become a barrier between us and forgiveness. In a hadith, we learned that on Mondays and Thursdays, Allah forgives every Muslim except the two people who have forsaken one another, who are angry with each other, who are not talking to each other. Allah says, leave these two until they reconcile. They will not be forgiven until they mend their relationship. In a hadith, we learn, مَنْ لَا يَغْفِرْ لَا يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. The one who does not forgive others is not shown forgiveness. So if we want forgiveness from Allah, then we have to show forgiveness to other people as well. Quickly, some du'as for seeking forgiveness. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli. Oh my Lord, I have wronged myself, so forgive me. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Oh my Lord, forgive and have mercy, and you are the best of those who show mercy. Rabbana amanna faghfir lana warhamna wa anta khayrul rahimin. Our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us and show mercy to us, and you are the best of those who show mercy. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa khata'i wa 'amdi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins and my mistakes and my deliberate errors. And especially when we make dua, we should call upon Allah by his name Al-Ghafoor, and by his name Al-Ghaffar, and by his name At-Tawwab and Ar-Rahim. And we should also make sure that we say the Sayyidul Istighfar, the chief prayer of seeking forgiveness, in the morning and in the evening. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru adh-dhunuba illa anta. We should make a habit of making this dua in the morning and in the evening. So very quickly, some practical points that we have learned from today, that we should have immense hope in Allah's forgiveness and in Allah's mercy. Yes, we admit our mistakes. And yes, we believe that Allah's forgiveness and mercy is even greater than our sins. We have hope in Allah's mercy, that Allah will help us become better. Allah will mend us. And we should also not put other people in despair. We should uplift other people. Yes, we should warn people, but we should not put them in despair. And we should all increase in our tawbah and istighfar, especially in these days and nights, at the end of our fast, in the night, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, those who seek forgiveness at the time of suhoor, that is a time of seeking forgiveness. And whatever we are doing in this month, whether it is qiyam or it is fasting, any good deed that we do, let us do it in the best way possible with expectation of reward. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with faith and expectation of reward, all their past sins will be forgiven. Whoever prays in the nights of Ramadan with faith and expectation of reward, all their past sins will be forgiven. And whoever prays in Laylatul Qadr with faith and expectation of reward, then all their past sins will be forgiven. So we should increase in our dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. O Allah, indeed you are ever forgiving. You love to forgive, you love to pardon. So please pardon us. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.